Amen. All right, well, we're there in Exodus chapter number 4. And in Exodus chapter number 4, just for sake of context, I'd like you to know that we are jumping into the middle of a conversation that Moses is having with God. In Exodus chapter 3, we won't take the time to go through it, but God is appearing to Moses in a burning bush. Moses is on the backside of the desert, and God is calling Moses to go to Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. And in the midst of this conversation, we are jumping into the middle of it here in chapter 4. The conversation starts in chapter 3 and ends in chapter 4. I want you to notice in verse number 1, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And of course, God is telling Moses to go back to Egypt to bring the children of Israel out. And he's giving these excuses. He says, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to hearken unto me. They're not going to believe. They're going to say that the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. I want you to notice, it's very interesting to me in verse number 2 that God asks Moses a peculiar question. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand?" I want you to make a note of that little question there. In fact, if you don't mind marking in your Bible, maybe you can underline that statement. What is that in thine hand? And he said, Moses said, "A rod." I don't know if you've ever noticed in the life and ministry of Moses how his rod is emphasized throughout his life. The rod of Moses is emphasized throughout his ministry, and it begins here at the burning bush. God, the Lord, asked Moses this peculiar question, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And the special use, the supernatural use of this rod begins here. Notice it in verse 3. "And he said, Cast it." Cast what? The rod. He said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it, the rod, became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, which, by the way, is already an act of faith here. I don't know a lot about handling snakes, but I know this, that you don't take a serpent by the tail. If you're going to grab a serpent, you grab it by the neck, as close to the head as possible. If you grab it by the tail, you're going to allow it to turn back and bite you. But here God says, "I want you to put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And this is, again, showing Moses' faith and confidence in God. And he put forth his hand and caught it. Notice what the Bible says, "And it became a rod in his hand." In the ministry of Moses, this rod takes a special place. It's something that God uses throughout his life. And it begins here in verse 2. What is that? "Moses, I'm calling you to go to Egypt, and I want you to bring the children of Israel out of bondage." And Moses is giving all these excuses. He's saying, "They're not going to believe me. They're not going to hearken unto me. I can't do it. They're going to say that you didn't appear." And God says to him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." "Moses, what is that in thine hand?" The answer, "A rod." And what's interesting is that if Moses would give, and he does, but if he would give that rod to God, it would not only become a serpent here in Exodus chapter 4, but it will eventually become a serpent before Pharaoh. If you remember in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 10, you don't have to turn there unless you'd like to, but in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says in verses 10 through 12, I'll just read you some excerpts. It says, "And Aaron cast down his rod," which is Moses' rod, "before Pharaoh, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the sorcerers. They also did in like manner. They cast down their rods, and their rods became a serpent. But," the Bible says, "Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." If Moses would give this rod to God, it would become a serpent before Pharaoh. "Moses, what is in thine hand?" "A rod." "Well, if you give that rod to God, not only will it become a serpent before Pharaoh, it'll turn water into blood. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 20, the Bible says he lifted up the rod and smote the waters, and all the waters were turned into blood. Moses, what is that in thine hand? A rod? Well, if you give that rod to God, not only will it become a serpent before Pharaoh, not only will it turn water into blood, but if you give that rod to God, it'll bring forth frogs upon the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 5, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up from the land of Egypt. Moses, what is that in thine hand? A rod? Well, if you give it to God, it will bring lice all over Egypt. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Moses, what is that in thine hand? A rod? Well, if you give it to God, it'll thunder and rain hail all over Egypt. Exodus chapter 9, verse 23, Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail. Moses, what is that in thine hand? A rod? Well, if you give it to God, it'll bring an east wind. That'll bring locusts. Exodus 10, 13, Moses stretched forth his rod, and the Lord brought an east wind, and the east wind brought the locusts. Moses, what is that in thine hand? Is it a rod? Well, if you give it to God, it will bring water out of the rock in Horeb. Exodus 17, verses 5 and 6, go on before the people and take with thee, God says to Moses, thy rod, take it in thine hand and go, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it. Moses, what is that in thine hand? A rod? Well, if you give it to God, God will use it to part the Red Sea. One of the greatest miracles documented in Scripture was done not just by Moses, but by his rod. Exodus 14 and verse 16, Moses is instructed, lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Now, I'm not sure if you're understanding what I'm saying to you tonight, but I want you to get this thought, and it is this, that God wants to use, and that God is able to use whatever is in thy hand. God asked Moses, Moses, what is that in thine hand? Now, I would imagine that Moses might look around and say, what do you mean? This rod? And God says, Moses, if you give me that rod, I can use that rod. I can use that rod to turn water into blood. I can use that rod to bring lice upon Egypt. I can use that rod to bring locusts. I can use that rod to rain hail. I can use that rod to bring frogs. I can use that rod to bring water out of a rock. I can use that rod to part the Red Sea, Moses. What you have in your hand, I'm not sure if you're understanding what I'm saying to you. I'd like you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you would. You're there in Exodus. Go to 1 Samuel 17. You've got Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. I'm trying to say to you tonight that God can use whatever happens to be in thy hand. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you get it. As the young people would say, I'm not sure that you're picking up what I'm putting down. But I want you to get this thought tonight. Moses, what is that in thine hand? He says, a rod? God says, you give me that rod and I can use it. What about David? Hey, David, what's that in thine hand? A sling? You got a sling in your hand? Well, you give it to God and he'll slay a giant with it. You understand what I'm saying to you? What about Gideon? Hey, Moses, what is that? Hey, Gideon, what is that in thine hand? You've got a pitcher, and you've got a lamp, and you've got a trumpet. If you give it to God, he'll confound an army that is without number, the Bible says. Hey, Samson, what is that in thine hand? You've got the jawbone of an ass there in your hand. If you give it to God, he'll use it to help you slay 1,000 Philistines. Hey, Elijah, what's that in thine hand? You've got a mantle. If you give it to God, he'll use it to part the Jordan River. Hey, widow of Zarephath, what is that in thine hand? You've got a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. If you give it to God, God will use it to sustain you and your son and the prophet Elijah through a famine. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? God is willing, God is able, God wants to use whatever it is that you happen to have in your hand. What is that in thine hand, certain poor widow? You've got two mites. Well, if you give it to God, he'll value it more than all those who cast in of their abundance, the Bible says. Hey, lad, what's that in your hand? Five barley loaves and two small fishes? If you give it to God, he'll use it to feed 5,000. Hey, Mary, what's that you've got in your hand? What is that in thine hand? An alabaster box, a very precious ointment? Well, if you give it to God, God will use it so that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. And what I want you to understand this evening is this, that God is interested in what you've got in your hand. And God can use whatever you've got in your hand. God looks at individuals throughout the Bible and he asks, what is it that you've got at your disposal? What is it that you have available for yourself? What is it that you have? Is it a rod? I can use the rod. Is it a sling? I can use the sling. Is it the jawbone of an ass? Is it a mantle? Whatever it is, God says, I can use what's in your hand. I ask you tonight, what's in your hand? God asked Moses a peculiar question. What is that in thine hand? He says, a rod. And God says, if you let me use that rod, we can do something with it. I'd like to give you three statements this evening. I won't be very long, but I'd like you to understand what the Bible teaches about this. If you'd like to jot these things down, maybe you can do that on the back of your course of the week. You can write down some notes. Statement number one tonight, God can use whatever is in your hand. I've already made that clear in the introduction, but I want to make sure you understand it. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have, of course, the famous story of David. Remember David? He slew Goliath. What's interesting is in 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 38, the Bible says this, and Saul, if you remember the story, the champion Goliath comes out and he's challenging the armies of Israel to fight with him. No one will fight him. Everyone's afraid. David finally steps up and says, I'll do it. And before he goes to battle, 1 Samuel 17, verse 38, the Bible says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed, that's an older word, it means he attempted to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, and David put them off him. I want you to notice here that God doesn't need David to put on fancy armor. He doesn't need David to be equipped by Saul. He doesn't need Saul's armor. David only needs, and God only needs, what David already has in his hand. David wants to go fight Goliath. David wants to go beat Goliath. David wants to go do something for God. But David doesn't need anything else than what God has already given him. Here Saul is trying to put a helmet of brass and armor and a coat of mail and a sword and all these things. And David said, I can't even walk in these things. I can't do it. The Bible says that he put them off. But I want you to notice what David does in verse number 40. The Bible says, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. Notice these words. I want you to notice these words. And his sling was in his hand. David, what's in your hand? A sling? I can use it. You don't need to go get armor. You don't need to go put on fancy things. You don't need anything else than what I've already given you. God says, what you already have in your hand, I can use it, David, if you'll let me use it. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Bible tells us here of David, and of course he kills Goliath. And David's sling, I want you to understand, history tells us, and this is agreed upon by most people, that the sling was not like, don't think of like a slingshot, all right? Don't think of like Dennis the Menace. It wasn't like a wide piece of wood with a rubber band and a slingshot. In the ancient world, a sling would have been something more like a pouch, a center cradle that would hold a stone, and it would have two long cords that would come from it, either leather cords or some sort of woven fibers or flax, that would, there'd be a pouch and there'd be these cords, and you would put a rock or a stone in that pouch and you would hold the cords and you would begin to swing in order to gain some momentum. And then you would let go of one of those cords, and as that sling would open up, it would sling out this stone, and that it would be used in order to hit someone with or in battle. This is what David had in his hand. He had a sling. He was good with it. He'd already used it. It was something that was in his hand. See, God doesn't need anything fancy. God doesn't need anything more. Oftentimes people think, well, I would go soul winning if I knew more things, or I would do this, or I would do that. I would get involved. If I had armor like Saul had armor, then maybe I would fight Goliath. God doesn't need you to have armor. God just needs what's in your hand. God can use whatever is in your hand. Here the Bible tells us that his sling was in his hand. God just wants to use what you already have. Notice verse 48, 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face to the earth. God was able to use the most unlikely of heroes using the most unlikely weapon. I mean, if you and I were going to sit here and think to ourselves, what is it that God would use? God's going to put a story in the Bible where a young man is going to defeat a giant, where a little kid, a teenager, just a kid, is going to go against a warrior, a giant, a man who's done this. He's a professional warrior. And if you thought, well, how's God going to do that? We would think the same way Saul would think. We would think we need to give him a shield. We need to give him a sword. We can't take a lad. We need somebody who's done this, who knows what to do. God takes the most unlikely hero with the most unlikely weapon, and he uses them to kill Goliath. Why? Because David already had a sling in his hand. He was willing to let God use it. When I was a boy, we used to sing this song. We used to sing a song about David. It went like this: only a boy named David, only a little sling, only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook, only a boy named David, but five little stones he took. And one little stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went into the sling went round and round. And around and around and around and around and around and around and around. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down. You know that all God wants to use is whatever you happen to already have in your hand? So I ask you tonight, what do you have in your hand? Notice 1 Samuel 17 and verse 50. The Bible says, so David prevailed. So David prevailed over the Philistine. But notice what the Bible emphasizes. Because in the life of Moses, there's this emphasis. Moses, what's in thy hand? This thing? A rod. He says, give me that rod and I'll part the Red Sea. Give me that rod and I'll bring water out of the rock. Give me that rod and I'll use it to bring Pharaoh to his knees, to bring Egypt to his knees. Just give me what's in your hand and I can use it, Moses. God looks at David and says, what's in thine hand? Notice it. Notice the emphasis in verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a bazooka. That's what it'd say if you and I wrote it. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a grenade. No, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was, notice the emphasis, there was no sword in the hand of David. Why? Because God wants to use whatever you happen to already have in your hand. So I say it to you tonight, God can use whatever's in your hand. You don't need to go get fancy education and fancy books and fancy armor and a helmet and a sword. You say, I just got this rod. God says I can use it. I've just got this sling. God says I can God says he can use it. I'm asking you tonight, and I'm telling you tonight that God can use whatever happens to be in your hand. I'm just asking you, what's in your hand that God can use? What's in your hand that God is, that you're willing to let God use? Last several weeks, we've been doing some work around here, just fixing some things that needed to get fixed for certain reasons. This morning, I appreciate this, the fact this weekend we had several guys doing just miscellaneous things. This morning, Brother Vladi was installing up here in this baptistry some handrails that needed to be installed. And I walked in this morning, I walked into the building, I looked up and I looked into the baptistry and I saw Brother Vladi there. You know what I saw in his hand? A drill. He had a drill in his hand. And I thought to myself, I bet you Brother Vladi uses that drill all the time at work. I bet you that's something that he already had in his hand. But he's using it here. Why? Because God will use whatever you happen to have in your hand. You understand what I'm saying to you? Last night we had some men, brother, and I appreciate it. Brother Aldo and Brother Moses were out here, and somebody ran into our fence, and they were out here fixing the fence and helping with that. And I think some of these posts had to be set, which is something that Moses does a lot. And, of course, there was some welding work that needed to be done, which is something that Brother Aldo does. And you know what they were doing? They were just back there last night doing something that they normally do with their hand. I'm thankful for Brother Warren. He's been helping us with some electrical work. You know, Brother Warren does electrical work every day of his work life. But it just happens to be that whatever he has in his hand, God can use it here too. I say to you that God can use whatever is in your hand. God looked at Moses, who ended up being one of the greatest characters in history. Moses says, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to follow me. They're not. And God says, not only can I use you, Moses, I can use, what's that in your hand? A rod? God says, give me that rod. I can use it. David. How are you going to kill Goliath? You're just a child. You're just a kid. You don't even have a sword. You don't even own a sword. What do you have in your hand, David? A sling? God says, I can use it. I say to you tonight that God can use whatever's in your hand. So I ask you, what's in your hand? Is it an instrument? Well, God can use it in the orchestra. You say, I can't play an instrument. Okay, what's in your hand? You got a broom or a mop? God can use it in the cleaning crew. What's in your hand? Some of you got a handgun in your hand. And if you've got a handgun in your hand, as long as you've got a CCW in the other hand, we can use you on the safety team. What do you have in your hand? All I got is a wallet. Well, we can use you. What do you have in your hand? You got a warm handshake? The usher team can use you. What do you have in your hand? I'm not just saying physically what's in your hand. I'm saying what's at your disposal. What is it that God has given you that you have available to you? You say, I've got some technical skills. We can use you up in the audio room. You say, all I've got is a sling. God says, I'll use a sling. All I've got is a rod. God says, I'll use a rod. I'm here to tell you, God can use whatever happens to be in your hand. So what is that in thine hand? Number two. I told you three statements. We'll do this quickly tonight. Number one, God can use whatever is in your hand. Go with me to the book of John, John chapter 6, if you would, in the New Testament. John chapter number 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Number one, this evening, God can use whatever is in your hand. Here's statement number two. Maybe you'd like to jot it down. Not only can God use whatever is in your hand, but you and I need to understand this, that God can do more with what's in your hand than you can do with what's in your hand. Not only can God use whatever happens to be in your hand, a rod, an alabaster box, a sling, God can use whatever's in your hand, but I would say this, that God can do more with what's in your hand than you can do with what's in your hand. One of the greatest stories in the Bible, John chapter 6 and verse 5. You know the story. Look at it. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. I love that. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He was just asking them. He wanted to get them thinking. When shall we buy bread? Where are we going to get bread that we can feed these, that these may eat? Look at verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He said, even if we had 200 penny worth of bread, that wouldn't be enough for all of them to take a little, much less feed them all. Notice verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, I know this is a well-known story, but I just love these statements. There's a reason why this is a well-known story. Look at verse 9. I just love this statement. He says, there is a lot here. There is a lot here. He says, there is a lot here which hath, hey, lad, what do you got in your hand? What's that in your lunchbox? What do you have? He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But then Andrew answers back. He says, but what are these among so many? And the truth of the matter is this, that this lad had enough lunch in his own hands to only feed himself. This is just a lad, we're told, just a child. I would imagine that his mom probably got this little lunch together as he was going to go out for the day and he wanted to go hear Jesus. Of course, Jesus is a very famous character at this time in his ministry, and he's been healing people. He has thousands of people. We're told 5,000 people are there to hear him preach, and we're told that it's only the men that are counted. The women and children are not counted in that number of 5,000. So people tell us it could be anywhere between 10 and 15,000 people that were there, and this little lad wants to go and see Jesus is coming into town. He wants to go hear him preach, and his mother says, well, you better take a lunch with you. I don't want you to go hungry. And she makes him this little lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And now there's a need that arises. These 5, by the way, it's interesting to me. This one mother apparently was the only one who had enough perception to send her son off with some food. The rest of these people, Jesus is asking, how are we going to feed this crowd? And there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are these? And look, it's a valid question. What are these among so many? I mean, there's thousands of people here. What are we going to do with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? And the answer is, in the hands of the lad, not much. The lad's lunch in his own hands was only enough to feed him. But the lad's lunch in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand what I'm saying to you? Look at verse 10. John chapter 6 and verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. You know what that means? That means it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. They ate as much as they wanted. I mean, this is an amazing thing. This little lad, apparently the only one that has this lunch. I don't know if he had a little lunch box or if he had a little brown bag. I don't know. But he had this lunch, and he's got these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And I'm here to tell you that God can use whatever is in your hand. You say, well, what's in your hand? You say, just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. God says, I can use that. See, God can use whatever happens to be in your hand. And God can do more with what's in your hand than you can do. That lunch in the hand of the lad could only feed the lad. But in the hands of the Lord, he could take it and he could distribute it to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Verse 12, when they were filled, everybody ate as much. They got, I mean, they're serving more, and they're like, no, I'm good, I'm done, I'm full. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled, look at it, 12 baskets with the fragments. They started with a little lunch. They feed 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children. And at the end, they go out and gather the leftovers, and there's 12 baskets full. There happened to be 12 disciples. I don't think that's a coincidence. Therefore, they gathered themselves together and they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets in the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. The lad's lunch in his own hands would have only fed him. The lad's lunch in the hands of God, in the hands of Jesus, fed 5,000. See, the thing is this, that God doesn't mind you using whatever he happens to put in your hand for yourself. Do you understand that? God doesn't mind whatever he's put at your disposal, your skills, your educations, your aptitudes, your abilities. God doesn't mind you using that for yourself. God doesn't mind you using that in the secular world to make money. God doesn't mind that at all. But God does want you to understand that he gave that to you for his kingdom, for his glory. And the truth of the matter is that God can use and God will use whatever happens to be in your hand. And God can do more with what's in your hand than you can do with what's in your hand. So we would ask this lad, what is that in thine hand? Say, this thing? 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? And the response from God would be that God can use whatever happens to be in your hand, and not only that, but God can do more with what's in your hand than what you could do with what's in your hand. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I said, number one this evening, God can use whatever's in your hand. Number two, God can do more with what's in your hand than you can do with what's in your hand. Let me give you a third statement. Are you there in Matthew chapter 19? I'd like to notice verse number 20. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 20. The Bible says this. The young man, of course, if you're familiar with the story, this is the rich young ruler. And there's a conversation that's been had between the Lord Jesus Christ and this rich young ruler, and there's a lot of theology there with regards to this young man's salvation. He's not saved. I'm not going to get into that tonight. I just want you to notice how this conversation ends. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Because he asked Jesus, he didn't ask the question that the Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? But he asked this question, what do I have to do? What are the works that I need to do in order to gain eternal life? And Jesus answers his question in a very pragmatic and practical way. He says, well, if you're concerned with trying to earn your salvation, what you have to do is keep the commandments. And this young man obviously has an issue with pride because he says, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Lie. He says, what lack I yet? And Jesus is not telling him that what he's about to tell him is something that he needs to do in order to be saved. But Jesus wants to point out to him that there is something that he's lacking in the keeping of the law. Because this young man, this rich young man, seems to think that he's kept all the commandments of God. But there's one major commandment that he hasn't kept. The fact that he's a covetous young man and he's an idolatrous young man because he's made an idol out of his money. And Jesus is about to put his finger on that nerve. And the Bible says in verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Oh, you think you're perfect? And I'm using the word perfect here in the sense that you and I would use it, although the biblical term for the word perfect is complete and whole, but I think it fits either way. He says, you think you're complete? You think you're whole? You think you're lacking nothing? You think you've got it all done? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, he says, then why don't you do this? Go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Notice verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And there's a lot of theology here with regards to salvation, and I'm not going to get into that, but I just want to point this out. That God can use whatever is in your hand. And God can do more with what's in your hand than you can do with what's in your hand. But statement number three is this, that God can only use what's in your hand if you offer it to him. The interesting thing about this rich young ruler is that we never hear about him again. Now, I don't know if he ever got saved. Based off this story, it doesn't seem like he got saved at this interaction. Maybe he got saved later on. We don't know that. But the point is, we don't know. We don't hear of him again. The rich young ruler wasn't willing to give God what was in his hand. And therefore, the Bible seems to indicate that the rich young ruler and us will never know what God could have done with what was in his hand. You understand what I'm saying to you? God can only use what's in your hand. See, God wants to use whatever's in you. Moses, what is that in thine hand? A rod? I can use that. David, what's in your hand? A sling? I can use that. Gideon, what's in your hand? A trumpet? I can use that. Samson, what's in your hand? The jawbone of an ass? I can use that. Mary, what's in your hand? An alabaster box? Hey, lad, what's in your hand? Five barley loaves and two small fish? I can use that. God can use whatever's in your hand. And God can do more with what's in your hand than you can do with what's in your hand. But God can only use what is in your hand when you offer it to him. The rich young ruler wasn't willing to give God what was in his hand. So the rich young ruler never found out what God could have done with what was in his hand. And if you and I do not get to the point where we freely give to God what God has already given to us, we'll just never know. Because a rod is just a rod. Do you understand? A rod is just a rod if it's not given to God. A sling is just a sling if it's not offered to the Lord. The jawbone of an ass is just a bone. It can't do anything if it's not offered to God. A mantle is just a piece of clothing if it's not offered to the Lord. The handful of a meal in a barrel in the cruse of oil will barely feed a widow and her son before they die, unless it's offered to God. Two mites are nothing if not offered to the Lord. Five barley loaves and two small fishes will only feed a lad if they're not offered to God. An alabaster box of precious ointment is just an alabaster box of precious ointment. It's not something we would be talking about 2,000 plus years later, unless it's offered to the Lord. And the truth of the matter is this, and I don't mean to say this in any sort of rude way, and I hope you understand what I'm about to say to you. I said this morning, but I think I should say it again, and it is this, that your life and my life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And the truth of the matter is this, that you're not Abraham Lincoln, and I'm not Alexander the Great, and probably just a few years after we die, and our children die, and our grandchildren die, no one will probably remember us. Millions and billions of human beings have been born, have lived, and have died on this earth, and have taken what was in their hands and used it for themselves, and no one remembers them. But the truth is that you and I can make an impact for eternity. We might not ever be remembered in this world. They might not ever write history books about us. They might not ever write books about us. But we can have an impact made for eternity, like we talked about this morning, where God will remember, where God will see, where God will reward the things that were done in our body, only if we're willing to offer him what is in our hand. Because God can only use what's in your hand if you offer it to him. I heard a story recently from a preacher named Jack Hiles. I've heard this story many times. I've listened to many Jack Hiles sermons over the years, but I heard this recently. And he's told this story many times. It was a story of when he was called to preach, you know, and of course Jack Hiles grew up in a independent fundamental Baptist culture where they had altar calls, and we don't do that here. He tells a story about a man in his church, a young man. It was a young man that was kind of his peer, maybe just a few years older than him, and his name was Joe Boyd. Joe Boyd was a natural-born athlete. He became a great college football hero. He was an All-American tackle for Texas A&M, and he was a national champion hero and the all-star of the team when they won the Sugar Bowl in 1939 and 1940. Today, his name is inscribed in the Texas A&M Hall of Fame. His name is written in all sorts of different books about the things that he did, and he had even been drafted into an NFL team. And Joe Boyd, on one Sunday night, walked down the aisle at one of their altar calls, and he spoke with the pastor, and he let the pastor know that he felt that God was calling him into ministry, and that he was going to forsake all these things and give his life to serve the Lord. And the pastor, as their custom was, this is not our custom, but as his custom was, announced to the entire church, Joe Boyd has been called to preach. And people cheered and clapped and they said amen and praise the Lord. And they celebrated that this young man with this bright future, with all these things ahead of him, would give of himself to the Lord and praise the Lord for it. And by the way, Joe Boyd ended up being a great preacher for God, did many wonderful things and was mightily used of the Lord. Jack Hiles was in this church just a few years younger than Joe Boyd. Joe Boyd and Jack Hiles were friends. But Jack Hiles and Joe Boyd were complete opposites. Jack Hiles was the runt of his family. He was just skinny and not very athletic. His father was a town drunk. Father very abusive to him, was not saved. His father did not get saved till almost his... I don't think his father actually got saved. I'm not even sure about that. But because of all this, his father left him and his mother, and he was just a town drunk, and because of all the tension and pressure and abuse in Jack Howe's life, he would often, even as an older child, would have these uncontrollable panic attacks and anxiety attacks, and he would just randomly burst into tears in public places. And we're not talking about a little child. I mean, even as an older 10 and 11 and 12-year-old would have these bursts that he could not control. And they would call him Jackie Boy, and I think they said it lovingly, but wasn't very manly. And Jack Howell saw the story about being there on a Sunday night just a few weeks after Joe Boyd had surrendered to preach, and he felt that the Lord wanted him to give his life to the ministry. And he walked down the aisle and he told the pastor, I'd like to tell you that I believe that God has called me into the ministry and I want to surrender my life. And he tells a story. I've heard Jack Howell tell the story many times. He tells a story. He said, the pastor looked at him and said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, I'm sure. And he said, okay. And the pastor got up, as their custom was, and says, I'd like to announce tonight that Jackie Boy Hiles has surrendered his life to the ministry. He said, nobody said amen. Some people said, oh my. Nobody cheered, nobody clapped, nobody celebrated. Jack Hiles tells the story that on that night, he remembers just talking to the Lord in his mind, looking up to heaven. And he said, God, I cannot give you what Joe Boyd can give you, but I can give you as much of Jack Hiles as Joe Boyd can give you of Joe Boyd. You know what he was saying in that night? He was saying, I can give you what's in my hand. If you'll use it, I'll give it to you. And I say to you tonight that God can use whatever's in your hand. God can do more with what's in your hand than you can do with what's in your hand. But God can only use what's in your hand if you offer it to him, if you give it to him, if you surrender it to him. What's that in your hand, Moses? A rod? Well, I can use that rod to bring the most powerful political king to his knees. What's that in your hand, David? A sling? Well, I can use that sling to bring the most formidable opponent, a giant named Goliath, to his death. What do you have in your hand, lad? 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? Well, I can use it to feed 5,000. I ask you tonight, what's in your hand? And I end tonight where we began. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. So I ask you, what is that in thine hand? What is it that you have that God could use for his glory? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for these stories and these challenges. And Lord, we thank you that not only can you use a man, Moses, but you can use the rod in his hand. Not only can you use the young man, David, but you can use the sling in his hand. Not only can you use a lad, but you can use the lunch in his hand. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help us to be people that give ourselves to you. And Lord, we all understand that there are some people that are more talented than others. Some people have a lot of talent. Some of us don't have much talent at all. Some people are well-resourced, and some of us don't have many resources at all. Some people have a lot of skills, and then there are those of us that don't have a lot of skills at all. But the truth of the matter is that you're a big God, and you will use anyone, and you will use everyone that offers you what's in their hand. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we're now, Brother RJ, come up and lead us in a final